blowing smoke. In the room I trapped myself in so long ago, where the blinds remain forever closed. Will it change? I hope so, 'cause I have spent the past 4 years trying to find some peace of mind, and I think I might have found it this time.
Audio too with it. Perfect. Here we are. We're live. Sorry, guys. We had some titty difficulties. I don't know what I was trying to say. They're technical difficulties. Just got to adjust one thing real quick.
Sorry. Got to put you in frame. That helps.
One man show here. I'm a one man band. I'm drumming and guitar at the same time here, you know? So here we are. Episode, I don't even know what the fuck, 93. This is your second time on the show.
It is.
How did you enjoy your first experience? Obviously enough to come back.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You didn't hate it?
I couldn't wait to come back. Actually, I think
we booked like 14 times.
14 times, yeah. It's the first time since then.
Yeah. We're both like, I'm not normally flaky, but for some reason, like together, when we try to combine, we're both like, shit happens. It's like the universe is trying to keep us apart.
I agree.
But we're here.
Not today.
We figured it out.
Yeah.
Just maybe lean in a little bit. Pull your chair a little bit. You're just a little out of frame. If you are watching, please hit that share button. Let people know you are watching the stream. Let people know the podcast exists. Word of mouth is very important. Also, check out the links below. You can follow us on Instagram, mm-hmm. So all social media. Let me turn that buzzing off. Yeah, all social media, and we do have merchandise. This show is obviously not selling much in merchandise, but the other shows are killing it. So if you would like an Interviews at Everyday People shirt, if you've been on the show or you know someone who's on the show, grab one. Help us out. Everything goes to making the equipment of the show better. Next thing we're working is new headphones. You'll see in a couple,
yeah,
in like a little bit. These are going to start to fucking suck, so we need better ones, and ones that travel better.
Right.
Because we do move around a lot. Yeah, it's all over the place. Normally there's intro music, but I had to make some adjustments, and I think something is going on with something. So the intro music wasn't there when we started, so I just started the stream. But if you want to check out the intro music, it is Mahan Tungo from Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, I know them
young
guys.
Young guys.
Yeah, I know them guys.
They kill it. They kill it. They're great. You've been in the music scene for a long time.
I have.
Started a band. Another one.
I did.
Radio Soup.
Yeah.
With... I mean, this is no offense to your drummer, because I haven't met him yet.
Yeah.
But everyone else in that band is near and dear to my heart, and they're just all really, really good people. I'm sure he's amazing, too.
Yeah, he's great, yeah.
But I just, like I said, I don't know him yet, so.
Well, we're killing it.
Yeah.
I mean.
Playing everywhere.
Yeah, it's awesome. Actually, you know, we've played nowhere in Schuylkill County the past 2 months. It's been amazing.
Yeah. How's that feel?
Great. It's awesome, you know, playing for people you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, getting their reaction on whether they actually like you or not because they don't know you. You know?
Yeah.
It's good.
How, like, what do we play? Like, what is it? Is it, like, your wheelhouse of what people can expect from you? Have they heard you as a musician in the area? Is it a little bit of new stuff? What are we talking here?
Yeah, I think both. I think, you know, adding Russ and Tim's a different drummer. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool.
I still like that you are keeping some of the songs that I used to love when you were jamming with the boys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them that we still did. A lot of them that we did when it was me, Terry, and Steve.
Yeah.
You know, but...
But I think, like, even when it was the boys upstairs with you three, you were kind of like the Beatles, where John had his songs, Paul had his songs.
Right, that's what it is.
And George had his songs.
Yeah.
And when they, you know, they go solo or they go somewhere else, those songs go with them. They're your trademarks.
I agree.
Yeah.
100% agree.
Yeah.
Now, there is a bunch of newer ones. Not, I don't want to say newer, but songs that we haven't done before.
Yeah.
You know, they're cool.
Really
cool.
I like you still do Soulshine.
Absolutely. I'll never not do Soulshine.
Yeah, I like how you still do Leaving on a Jet Plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
That's cool. That's a good one. It works.
Do you still do, what the hell is it? Use Somebody.
Yes.
Yeah, you were a beast at that. Those three are the ones that Hottie was like, oh, she got excited when you were about to sing, because they were the three she liked when we'd go to Boys Upstairs shows.
Well, they're the ones I feel confident most, you know.
And you still do your rap?
No.
You should do the rap.
You know. I don't think you should get
Russ to rap. Russ can rap funny, his ass off.
I know. You want to hear a funny story about Russ?
Yes.
This past weekend, so we played. And before we went to the place, we got a hotel room. And we were outside smoking a cigarette waiting for Tony to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And we met a couple people from Harrisburg, from the hood, you know, and they were cool. Mm-hmm. They were awesome. So we became friends. So we go to the gig, we come back, and we start hanging in this room with the pool table, right? Just, it was me, Allison, Kelly, and then Russ, and we seen that the people walking by, like, yo, come on in. So next thing you know, there's 15 of us in this room with the pool table or whatever, and it was pretty late.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, so, so me, Russ, and Tony go get our guitars, and we go, and we start jamming, and these guys start freestyle rapping.
With the guitars,
right? So they were going back and forth, two of them, right? And they might have gone back like 8, 9, 10 minutes. And me and Kelly, after, we were like, Russ, just show him what's up, right? And he did. He killed it. I got it on video. I'll show it to you. I'll show it to you after we're done here.
I love when he starts beatboxing, too.
Yeah, that's what he was doing. You know?
Yeah, we got Liquid Death. If you are watching, you can type with us in the chat. I like it. It doesn't taste bad. I thought you're crazy for saying it tastes. It tastes like water, but it's in a can, and you save on, you don't, you're not, you're saving the environment by not drinking out of plastic bottles.
Yeah. It tastes fine.
Sponsor us, Liquid Death. We're trying to get that sponsorship. Thank you for the follow, too. And make sure you guys, if you're watching, hit the share button. Let people know that we are live right now. And like I said, you guys can join in and join in the conversation. If you have any questions for Frank, you can put them in there, too. We'll open the door there.
Yeah, I'll answer questions.
What's your favorite color? How long has Radio Suits been? About a year now?
Actually, it's a little over a year.
A little over a year.
Not much over a year.
Because I think, like, I'm coming up on 2 years.
Yeah.
And about halfway through is when radio, because you were on a very early episode. I don't even remember what episode you were on, but it was early.
It was early,
yeah. Yeah. Not super early, though. I still think we had the new mics. I don't remember. If you probably go back, it's shitty quality. So if you listen with your own on your own caution. But, over about a year now. That's crazy. Yeah. What are some of your favorite venues you guys have played so far?
Well, the one that we just played, the Party Barn.
The Party Hands Barn. Down. I got to experience down. This Party Barn.
Yeah, listen, you got to. Add them on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Cool. Really,
maybe
really
I can,
cool.
Maybe I can go interview the owner.
Yes, you should.
And at the Party Barn.
At the Party Barn.
And then you guys host it. Like, it'll be a podcast music day, and we'll do it as a collaboration.
I'll look into it right now. Not right now. I'll get Kelly on it. I'll get Allison on it.
Kelly and Allison, if you're watching.
Russell.
Let's do a podcast with, we could do a Bangin' Beers.
Yeah.
At the Party Barn. Yeah.
It'll be cool. I'm telling you, it's the coolest place that I played. Way cool.
Tag the Party Barn if you guys can. Oh, Party Barn peeps.
Tag the Party Barn.
Tag the Party Barn. We want to be there. We want to experience. I either it could be interviews or banging beers. I'm cool.
It's amazing.
Even if it's interviews, we're still banging beers. Yeah. Speaking of that, we have some beers here. We got some chocolate porters.
Yeah, this guy just decides he's going to build a pole barn. Huge. And put a huge stage in it with lights and a full working kitchen, and decides that he's just going to throw a party Friday, Saturday, and Sundays, and hire bands Friday, Saturday, and Sundays.
That's awesome.
And he has fire pits outside, so it might be 5 or 6 now, fire pits.
Is it like private land?
Yeah, it's right next to his house.
So, like, you can't get busted for having too many people because you're not selling alcohol.
Well, I don't know how it goes. I don't know how it works, but...
We don't ask questions. We just show up.
Yeah. I don't know how it works. I don't know how it goes, but it was fun.
Yeah.
That was a blast.
That sounds like a really good time.
Yeah. Really good time.
Yeah.
And I think actually now they're not closing it. They're going to close it down. Not close it down, but cover it. Put heaters on the inside. You know what I mean? So it keeps going.
I don't think we're going to have, like, I don't know. I could be wrong, but, like, I want a winter like we had last year where it snowed like twice.
Right.
But there was parts of the winter where you could still wear a hoodie.
Yeah.
And if you were standing outside next to, like, a fire thing, you were good.
Right.
It was a good winter.
Well, I mean, even if it gets real cold, I imagine they're still going to have some stuff.
Yeah. And it's up in Mechanicsburg.
Yeah, out in the middle of nowhere.
That's sick. And it's like a cover to get in, cover for food, and then bring your own beer.
Bring your own beer or booze, whatever you want, yeah. It's so awesome.
How's that not in Schuylkill County?
I know. Well, you know what I said to him? I'm like, dude, we should link up.
How is it for parking?
Unbelievable. It's like going to the Schuylkill County Fairgrounds. Maybe not as big, but they have it all roped off. They got people with wands.
No.
I swear to God.
Dude, I mean, it can, obviously it can't be Skookstock, but we should throw a music festival out there and get like a bunch of bands to go up and do like a all day thing.
Yeah, dude. It reminded me of Schuylkill County.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, that sounds so much fun.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the fucking shenanigans? Get a bunch of Skook bands up there.
Yeah. It'd be fun.
It'd be a really good time.
Get on it.
Maybe we'll have to work the details out. We'll have to figure it out. That'd be sick. That'd be so sick.
It'd be fun.
That could be like the once, like maybe like a next summer thing when COVID's all hopefully gone away and people want to get out and experience stuff. Big bash up there.
Yeah, there's a couple places that it can.
See, I don't know. When I did the Skookstock thing, it was awesome where it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it did suck because it wasn't really like in downtown Pottsville and stuff. But I also think putting it out in the middle of nowhere and making you have to go there to go, I thought people drank responsibly.
Yeah.
Like, no one got, like, because if that was downtown Pottsville, people would have got hammered.
Yeah.
And it kept a lot of the riffraff away. So the people who could just walk there and go and cause trouble, or it's only a 3-minute drive, they didn't show up.
Right.
And we didn't have security. Like, it was just like, we just did it. And there was no issues.
Yeah. Well, you know what's cool? It's, you know, on the Facebook page, I mean, there's videos of all the bands or whatever. And we get there and the guy says, we only got a couple rules. You don't smoke in here. If you cause trouble, you're out and you never come back. That's it.
It's a very simple way of life.
Everybody there was wonderful.
Like, you don't smoke inside?
Inside.
Okay. So you have to go outside to smoke.
Yeah.
Which is not a big deal.
It's like a designated area.
I think that's fair.
Very fair. It was a blast. I can't wait to go back again. I'm telling you, I can't.
Well, are you guys booked anytime soon? Are you waiting to find out what they're doing with the...
Yeah, waiting to find out, see what's going on.
But, yeah. So who all is in... Let's break down Radio Soup. Who's all in Radio Soup?
Okay, so obviously me, Terry Miller, Russ Anowoski, Tim Doyle, and whenever Tony Roman's around, he jams with us.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Super tight lineup.
Yeah, it's cool.
I always said, because like I said, me, you, and Terry, all still stomping grounds with the boys. I always said, I even tell Steve all the time, I said, when you and Terry are in your groove and you're in the right frame of mind, two of the top musicians in the area.
No, I appreciate it.
I truly believe that. I think you play the shit out of your guitar to the point where I've seen you damage some.
I have damaged other people's guitars. Do we have to get into that?
No, unless you want to.
Oh, I don't care. I don't care. We could.
All right, so another amazing person in the area, Dave, Mr. Platschko. So old school Frank, towards the end of his boys' days, would just be like, what time's the show? 7. He would show up 6:58.
True story.
And be like, you guys got a guitar for me? And they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, I did. And I actually had to call Dave.
And Platschko was like, well, I have one in my car or something.
No. I actually had to pick it up. Like, I think I picked it up at 6:30. I had to be there at 7.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you could borrow it. Man, it was a nice guitar.
Oh, it was a beautiful guitar.
It was a beautiful guitar.
It was expensive, too.
And for sure.
It looked like you chewed on it by the end of the show.
But it wasn't intentional.
No.
I just play hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by the end of it, there was a...
That's why pick guards are invented.
Yeah, it's exactly. There was no finish on the guitar either. So, I mean, you know.
It's a great story.
Well, here's what happened. I didn't want to give it back because I was like, shit. You know what I mean? I didn't have the money at the time to give it to him, so I was kind of...
Avoiding him?
Avoiding him, right? So I gave it to Steve, and he put it up to the store. So finally, a couple months go by, and Dave's like, he texts me, he's like, Frank, can I have my guitar back? And I'm like, yeah, it's up at Steve's. Steve has it up at the store. So he went up there a couple of times, but forgot to get it, you know?
He
didn't see it either. Yeah, so then, Steve calls me, he's like, dude... Guess who's just here? I said, who? He's like, Dave. He's picked his guitar up. And I was like, nah. He's like, yeah. I was like, what'd he say? He's like, I don't know. I didn't think he was that happy, right? So it was a couple 2 months past, and we're at the wheel, and it was jammed, and we're playing. And I take a break, and I go into the bathroom, and I thought I locked the door, and I didn't. The door opens, and there's Dave. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, Dave, listen, man. I'm sorry.
And then he closed and locked the door.
Yeah. I said, listen, man, I'm sorry about your guitar. I didn't do it on purpose. And he goes, you know what, man, don't worry about it. You got a heavy hand. I said, well, at least it looks like you played for a long time.
It was like a 2-week-old guitar, like it had been played for 13 years.
Looked like Willie's guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
I do feel bad.
It looked like you took your teeth and drug it across the guitar a bunch of times. I remember going to the shop, and Fulton was like, "You're never gonna believe this." It was the show. I didn't know what happened at the show, and then like after the show was over, I remember we threw it in the thing, and you're like, "Yo, you guys talked about it. I didn't know." And then the next day, we were like at the shop, and he's like, "You know the guitar he played last night was Plastico?" I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "Yo, look at this fucking thing." And I went, oh. He's like, "I can't fix this." I was like, "You got like that wood glue?"
I only played it twice.
You know what he should do? What? You know what like people are doing now with the ramen noodle where you fill the fill holes up with ramen noodle? Yeah. We should fix it with ramen noodle.
I think Dave likes it though.
Yeah.
I think he likes it.
Yeah. It's a funny story, but you had that fucking that acoustic one that was plastic where the battery was stuck inside of it, so every time you moved it would jingle around.
Yeah, the Ovation.
Yeah,
yeah, that was
that thing took a beating too.
They all took a beating. except for the one that I have now. The one that I have now he's tough.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And I stopped doing blackberry brandy, so there ain't no shot.
Blackberry brandy hasn't touched my lips in a long time, a very long time.
I'm proud to say that I haven't drank blackberry brandy in a long time.
I don't touch liquor anymore. I just stick with beer. Because there's too many nights where we're all good, and then that liquor kicked in. It's like, and then Dr. Yeah. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde comes out of like four or five people. I don't want to say who, but you know who you are. Just people start swinging on each other.
Yeah.
I'll fucking kill you. It's like, I have to drive everyone home. here's another funny story. You were pissing me off in fucking Minersville, and you were being a dick. I forget what it was, and you're hammered, and you're fucking sitting on you brought a stool for the back of the van because you thought it was the most genius thing ever. And you're sitting on the stool, and it's you and Todd, and I think Steve was in the passenger seat, and Dave was taking forever to come out, and you're like, "Fucking leave him. I'm like, "Would you shut the fuck up?" You're like, "Fuck you, black belt." And I just hit the gas quick, and you smashed your head on the back door.
I remember that, yeah.
And you're like, you're all drunk, you're like, I'm fucking stuck. But it was the loudest thing I ever heard in my life, because like you tumbled and then like Todd fell on top of you, and it was just bodies back there with like equipment falling off the sides. Oh my god, that van was a death trap.
I'm an idiot.
I'm like, how'd that fucking stool work out for you? Fuck you. What was that place called? The Curran. That was a good venue.
When it first opened, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good time. Mm-hmm. Halloweens were fun there. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Yeah. So obviously COVID's ruining stuff when it comes to live music. Like you're playing shows like this, but you guys been playing a lot of Snitz Creek Brewery?
Well, yeah, we played twice at the one in Anvil. Which was cool because they had a huge circus tent.
Yeah.
And there was a ton of people there. I mean, it was fun, but...
Make great beer.
Yeah.
The Budwashes work with them with their beer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then on the 17th, we play down at the one in Lebanon. That's the first time.
Okay.
So that'll be fun.
I wonder if Pilgrim's going to have a spot to put like acoustic acts in.
Maybe.
That'd be dope. Yeah. Hope they do.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all about playing out at this area. No offense to this area, but...
It's a change of scenery.
Yeah, and there's nowhere for you to play. I mean, where are you going to play?
I mean, a lot of the venues, you can't really do anything.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's tough. I think the only places you could probably do music right now outdoors is if Blackrock Brewing or Springgate lit a small section for acoustic acts.
Right.
And that's the thing, too. Like, this area right now is just only... We can only do acoustic acts. Like, it's tough to pull a full band anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, the Music at the Mansion. You should reach out to them.
You know what? They actually reached out to us, and I should get back to them.
Because that's going to be probably ending soon, because it's getting colder.
Well, that's what I'm saying. All of it's going to end soon, I think. It's going to be real tough to, you know, find a place to play.
But, yeah.
You know, I mean, where there's a will.
There's a Klein way.
Yeah, there's a Klein. We'll figure it out.
So, and then you said you have some other things you're kind of... in the works you want to allude to or put out in the universe.
I am.
Let's talk about it.
All right. Well, ask me about it.
All right. Well, I mean, you said you're working on a screenplay or a movie or a possible web series?
Me, you know what? no matter what it is.
Whatever it turns out to
be. Whatever it turns out to be. Yeah.
So you, during COVID, you were kind of, from what you were telling me, mm-hmm. I'm trying to word this in a good spot. I'm trying to reword Frank's words here and make them sound good. so you said during COVID, you were taking a lot of time to, in a creative process where you were writing songs and a lot of your songs seemed like a story where each song kind of told a story. And then you were kind of brainstorming as well, where you're like, man, I wish there's some lyrics and some things I can't emotionally put into the song because it's a song.
Right.
It would be cool if they were like the soundtrack to a movie and exactly. if it was like a screenplay to it.
Yeah. So like when you write a song and like, you can't make the song 10 minutes long. You know what I mean? Very few bands can do it.
Tell that to Queen.
Yeah, very few people can do it, all right? But, like, you know, like, if, you know, there's always, like, the story, the songs that are stories, there's only, like, one or two lines that really get you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, it'd be cool to, you know, do that visually and you know, like, have, like, all the songs that I've written and, you know, the music that I play where there ain't no words and all I can think about is, like, man, this would be cool and, like, and then, so them songs... In my brain, I could see, like, scenes of a show, screenplay, or a movie. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And so it just brainstorming. It's just like, I think, you know, I could write songs all day long. But, I mean, I think it'd be really cool to do something out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, and that nobody really does or even has tried to do. And, you know, I mean... You know, throughout my life, I've done a lot of things, a lot of bad, a lot of good, you know, but I've tried a lot of things, too.
It makes you who you are.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that if I don't do it, you know, it's just going to haunt me for the rest of my life. So, mm-hmm. at least I got to try it.
Yeah. That's the thing, man. Like, I know a lot of people probably outside looking in is like, this fucking Tony kid, like, who does he think he is? Joe Rogan? But it's like, it's just something I wanted to try. Like, right. I rolled the dice. Like,
yeah.
a lot of people say they want to do shit, but never, don't do it. You know what I mean? So, I say go for it. Like, if this is something you're passionate about, even if it's something that's a flash in the pan, at least you rolled the dice and you gave it a shot.
Right.
Because you can never say you haven't tried, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, and I think that's what it comes down to. And, like, you know, I'm so fascinated by, like, you know, there's certain shows that I've seen or certain movies that I've seen that I love the way that they're done. Like, you know, or like, for example, like How I Met Your Mother, that show. I don't mm-hmm. know if you've ever seen it.
I've never watched it, no.
But the way it
is. Is that the one with Charlie Sheen?
No, that's the one with Jason Segel.
Okay, yeah.
Like that show's cool. Or like Joe Dirt. How Joe Dirt is told is awesome. You know? You could say it's ridiculous. You could say whatever you want, but it's this janitor who just happens to be working at a radio station, and the movie's about his life that he tells it. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome. Or like, you know, like the Boondock Saints. You ever seen the Boondock Saints? Right?
Absolutely.
And you know how like they show you what happened first, and then they, you know what I mean? So it's like
the Tarantino it.
Yeah, they Tarantino. Yeah, I mean, so like, you know, just. So I Googled some stuff, like, you know, how do I do this? How do I write a screenplay? And when, you know, in the top two, it's like, you know, watch the movies that you like the most, mm-hmm. and watch the shows you like the most, and why do you like them? And you know, like the way they film things, or, you know, is it the way they film things? Is it the way the story's told, or is it the way the characters are? You know.
Mm-hmm.
And it fascinates me.
And that's a big thing, too, I think, when a lot of people are thinking about doing something like this. And this is stuff that I didn't even know was a possibility until I met people, because I was going to help with a movie, and it just didn't work out because I felt like the movie was cool, and I'm really happy it was made, and they had a good time doing it, but it wasn't my project. And
right.
I'm very captain of the football team. Like, it's hard for me to take a back seat, like, especially when it comes to, like, creative process. Like, I kind of... Yeah. I mean, I can take direction, but I have to be the one kind of with the ball in my hand, like, you know, because if it fails, at least I'll take the blame saying it didn't work.
Exactly.
But I also, this podcast came up, and this podcast was like my baby, and I was like, I don't want to take time away from this to go help film a movie.
Right.
And it was like, this was just starting, and I didn't have a groove or anything yet.
Yeah.
But when they were working on it, I'm like, yo, when you guys make a movie like this, you have to, like, especially if you're developing characters, like, it's not just the character that you on the, like, all right, he has black hair, blue eyes, and he's rich. What does he like to eat?
Yeah.
What does he dress like?
Yeah.
What is he into? What does he like? What does he don't like?
There's a lot to it.
There's all the and you have to do that for every single character, mm-hmm. because then when you want to direct someone to play that character, that's the things they need to develop that character as well.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I understand it's going to take a lot, and I understand it's going to take a little bit of time,
mm-hmm.
you know. But like I said, I think, you know, the people that I've told, they were all about it. The people that I think they can help out, that would want to help out, they're all about it. So I mean, that's cool. And like I said, when I was telling you before, you know, like if you ever seen like how they make South Park, where they there's five people coming.
Sorry.
Right.
I figured out, I think, what I did wrong. We just lost audio on the video. Because fucking Facebook chats are going crazy. Sorry. Check, check. Well, I figured out what it is. Every time I go to mute the fucking computer, it takes away the... son of a bitch. So you could keep telling the story. So the people who listen to audio still have something they're listening to.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, like, you know, what I was telling you before, you know, I love watching like how they made South Park, where there's like five or six people in a room, and they're just having fun, but they're coming up with this, you know, idea for the show that's only, you know, a half hour long, and it works, you know.
Yeah.
It works. I mean, of course there's a big team that, you know, does everything after they come up with the story, but I mean, you know, it just seems like a lot of fun to me.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
So real quick, people who are listening, you're not hearing it through these, it's coming through the laptop speakers, only because I'm getting blown up with Facebook messages, and I went to mute my computer, but for some reason in this app I'm using that streams, when I mute my computer, it takes away the audio from my board, and the only way I know how to fix it is shutting everything down and going back. And I'm not doing that, so we're going to keep going. So yeah, you're doing the screenplay. You don't want to get too much into the story, of course, and I understand that, but yeah, man, like I can't. I would love to help out as much as I possibly can. So right. when the ball starts rolling and stuff, like, if anything you need, man, hit me up.
Yeah, I absolutely will.
Yeah, man. So like you said, you've been watching a lot of movies during quarantine. What were some of the movies that you were watching that possibly inspired you to do this?
Well, I mean, I'm a movie guy to begin with. So I mean, it was more shows than it was movies, but you know, I love the surprise endings, or like, you know, for example, Shutter Island. Watch Shutter Island.
Great movie.
Yeah. Right? Love that movie. It's a killer movie. You never see it coming, you know?
I am listening. I'm trying to find a way to overall mute my Facebook chat so this doesn't happen to me.
And I've just seen Sopranos for the first time.
I've never watched Sopranos.
Well, you are missing out, my friend.
See, it was one of those things where everyone's like, it's so good.
It is that good.
And then the ending is so terrible that people were like,
it is terrible.
They were bummed that they spent all that time to watch it.
Well, it's only the last episode. You know what I mean?
Well, I watched Dexter, and I watched Dexter all the way up until the last episode, and it ruined it was like an anticlimactic ending. It was just a terrible ending. I was like, I mean, the screen didn't go black on me, you know?
Yeah.
I understand why they did it, for like to find out how you possibly how you perceive it.
Yeah,
so it's tough. It's I don't know. I want to watch it because I'm into all that mob shit. Like I love mob stuff.
Yeah, and I mean it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's awesome. So then I just got done watching Breaking Bad for the second time, and I've seen it already.
Now, are you someone who, like, I know they made a movie. Did you watch the movie?
Yes.
I never watched the movie, and I never watched anything but Better Call Saul. Like, once the show was over, I was like, I'm done with it. I enjoyed it. I'm over.
So now I'm on Better Call Saul. Actually, I watched an episode and a half before I came here.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, but I watched the movie because the movie's cool because it takes on right after Walter White dies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it goes from right at the end of that movie, or right at the end of the show, the movie starts. So it's
what was the movie? How did the movie Like, what was the premise of the movie?
El Camino. That's Pinkman.
Yeah.
How he tries not to get caught.
Because, like, at the end, he hides in the car and dips.
Yeah, he dips, yeah. And how he doesn't get caught, you know. But it was pretty suspenseful.
So, I know a lot of people were hinting, like, maybe Walter doesn't die. But is he, like, officially, like, he's
gone? No, yeah, Walter's dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. Yeah, for sure.
It was a great show. It was a really good show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Really killer show.
There's so many shows I have to start watching. Like, I wanted to start watching, the fuck is it now? Game of Thrones.
I have to watch that,
because everyone was saying, so I watched Game of Thrones season one, like, 3 times. Only because it was one of those shows, like, I have a hard time with fantasy realm, where it's, like, goblins, ghouls, and dragons, and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was, like, a game, it's like trying to play Risk for the first time. And they're like, and then you get the rules explained to you of Risk, and you're like, so you have to know, like, every family in the north, and who lives in the north, and what's the south, and who, and it's like, bro, I can't even find half the world on a map now, and you want me to memorize your fantasy world?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I couldn't tell you the president of any other country, I think, in the world, or leader. But you're entering season one of Game of Thrones, and they're hitting you with this information like you should already know.
You see, I haven't seen it yet, but everybody keeps telling me to watch it.
Yeah, so be prepared. Just, like, stick through it, and because, like I said, they're gonna hit you in the beginning like you should know every single person that's involved with that show, and then you're gonna be, it's overwhelming, and it frustrated me.
Right.
And then when I watched the second time, I was like, listen, I'm just gonna go in there, I'm gonna realize that I don't know shit, and just keep going until I figure it out. I enjoyed it more, but that was the big thing that turned me off for a while.
Oh, Ozark. Did you watch Ozark?
No.
Ozark's unbelievable. It's another one. So, you know what they do? And this is what I'm jealous about. And this is something that what I figure out, whether it's going to be a webisode or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Or long music videos.
Yeah. It's how they end it.
I am listening.
I want to hear what this sounds like.
It's how they end the episode. You know, to have a cliffhanger at the end of every episode, until they can't wait to watch it again.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the trick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Like, you ever see Outer Banks?
Mm-mm. I didn't watch that one either.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. But that's the same way. At the end of every episode, there's, like, this huge, oh, my God, I can't wait to see the next one. Yeah, the next thing you know, you're up for 10 hours, and, you know, you just watch the whole season.
The whole season.
You know, and I mean, that's a success.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, you know, and I think, you know, you kind of got to leave the story a little wide open so you can go places with it. You know what I mean? So it's not just so cut and dry that it's kind of like, oh, what do I do now? You know, and not make it stupid.
Yeah.
But
do you have a style in mind of what you're going to go with, like filming wise?
I have a million things in my head that I'm like, man, it'd be cool if we did this. It'd be cool, like, you know, like, so, for example, you know, if you watched Natural Born Killers back in the day and how crazy that camera is, right? Mm-hmm. Or the one with Johnny Depp and...
Fear and Loathing.
Yeah, Fear and Loathing, right, yeah. like, how weird that camera, but it's cool.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah. You know? The thing is, like, some of that, like, dude... So one of the things I would possibly think about doing too is, like, a lot of those cool camera shots are all done with, like, drones and booms and like that's one thing we were trying to explain to people too when they're trying to do this, is like, when you're filming it, you're gonna have to, like, get creative, because you kind of realize, like, how hard it is to shoot something and then capture the audio and the video. Like, there's so much behind those, it's movie magic.
Yeah,
they make it seem like it's so easy to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm up for the challenge. I'm doing it.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to see. And I think the people you have involved, like people who are studying that and stuff, I think that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good challenge for them.
Yeah. And, you know, what's really going to be exciting for me is, you know, once... So I'm thinking I do the first 40 minutes, 35 minutes, 40 minutes. Once that's done, what's going to be exciting is to find people who are going to play them.
You know,
play these characters. You know what I mean? I think that's really what I'm excited for.
Yeah.
You know, and just seeing how it comes together. And, you know, and see, does this person work? Does this person not work? You know, because, you know, you see, like, these documentaries on how movies are made. And, for example, I watched the one about Back to the Future. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
So,
I've seen the movie. I never seen the documentary.
The documentary. So, did you know this? That half the movie was filmed with another actor. before Michael J. Fox came.
Oh, out. Yeah. I did know that. Yeah. They scrapped the movie. Yeah. They scrapped the entire lead.
The entire thing, yeah. Because he wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. I agree.
It'd be hard to get him without Michael J. Fox.
It would never be as big if it wasn't Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. There's actually a movie now that it's really exciting that I wanted to see coming out. It's a friend of mine's going to be in it. But that comedian Chris D'Elia, the guy who got in trouble.
Yeah, I've seen him in Atlantic City.
Recently?
Yeah, actually, when was it? It wasn't even a year ago.
Yeah, bring this a little bit.
Oh, sure.
You're good. Well, he was in a movie that was like a really big budget movie. And then all the controversy came out during post-production. So now they're trying to figure out if they're just going to reshoot all his scenes and then find a way to do movie magic.
Yeah. Well, what did he get in trouble for?
He was talking inappropriately to underage girls on the internet.
Unreal.
I don't know why people do it.
Yeah.
Stupid. Yeah. Stupid stuff.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah, very funny. Yeah, so if people who are watching, I'm having like an anxiety thing because I want the quality to be good and listen back and it sounds like shit because we're going through the laptop mics. So I think what I'm going to do is this isn't going to be out right away. The audio will be, but I'm going to go and take the video and then take the audio that we're doing here and splice it.
Whatever you got to do.
So it sounds good when people watch it back.
Okay.
But I'm afraid to hit end stream because I don't want to lose the video. So I'm just going to let it go. So if people are hanging out, I do apologize that it it does sound the way it sounds. You know what I mean? I love Chris D'Elia, and I don't believe that. Yeah. It happened. He definitely got in trouble.
Listen, how could you not laugh at the Drake when he makes fun of Drake? I mean, that's the best.
Listen, he was hilarious. Yeah. He was a great comedian. So there's a video online of, and it says it's because he did so many podcasts, right?
Yeah,
so his a lot of his life was recorded when he wasn't being a comedian, and he did his own podcast.
Yeah.
So he was on a show called The Fighter and the Kid, right? And the guy who's the host of The Fighter and the Kid, kind of he got in trouble too, but they ended up finding out what happened with him was completely false.
Yeah.
Right. So Chris D'Elia was like, so like what they talked about the story about this guy, this kid who was messaging his teacher, saying like inappropriate things, and the teacher was saying inappropriate things to her underage student, and he's like, well, how did the mom find this out? And then they're like, dude, it's like, you know, people can screenshot things on like Snapchat, and like people can screenshot conversations, and it just doesn't go away. And then like as he's saying this, Dilly is like, you could tell all the gears in his brain are gone, and he's just sitting there going and then they start playing the Always Sunny music. Boom, boom, boom. It was funny. It was so yeah. I don't know every single allegation because then some girls came out and said like he was inappropriate to me, but they were of age.
Yeah.
So it is tough. I don't know much about it, so I can't speak too much on it. I just know kind of the overall general consensus of what he got in trouble for. Because I know but that's the thing, they're trying to reshoot all of his. His scenes in the movie now because they don't want to use him in it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, you know what? The challenge that I'm going to have, I think, is because it'd be really cool to have it set in like 78, 79.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to do that correctly, you can't. You know what I mean? It's got to be the clothes,
the cars. It's going to be really challenging. That's going to be tough.
The decor.
Yeah.
You know.
That's going to be really hard.
Yeah. So maybe I have to rethink that.
You would just have to be very crafty with your filming.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're doing a scene, like, I know you said there's the reason you want to use that time frame for a certain aspect of it, you're going to have the vehicle.
Yeah.
And that's probably, like, one, like, and then if you're going to do a shot where, like, the vehicle is passing another vehicle or something,
you have to
make sure that you guys have the same make, model. Yeah. And I mean, realistically, you're shooting a... You're making a movie and you're based at school county, so I think people will cut you a break.
Oh yeah.
But it's that's the thing you have to think about.
Yeah.
Like if you go to the gas station,
you
have to be careful if you're shooting indoor scenes because decor or if someone has a can of Pepsi or anything like that.
Yep.
Clothing.
Yep.
With ads and stuff on clothing, you have to be really careful with.
I know.
So it's gonna be a challenge too.
I'll figure it out.
Another cool thing too that I didn't think of in movies, and then once my friend like kind of showed me this stuff, is continuity in movies. So like, what happens is sometimes they'll shoot a scene, And then they'll come back and revisit that scene a couple days later.
A couple days later, yeah.
And then you'll realize, like, the kid's wearing, like, someone's wearing a red flannel, but their undershirt was black.
Yeah.
And then they come back the next day, and their undershirt's white.
Yeah.
So in, like, one scene where it cuts, they're wearing a white shirt.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, a two-second scene that cuts right back.
Yeah.
And he's back to a black shirt. And you never notice it until unless someone points it out to you.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, I get it.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be real fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be real fun.
It's going to be exciting to see.
Yeah,
that you would be the third person I know in this area who made a movie.
Yeah,
yeah, or something like that.
I'm gonna try like hell.
There's been two horror movies done in the area.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's other been others. I just don't know about them.
Yeah,
actually, no. I think Gene Snitsky's in a horror movie coming out soon. I don't know if it was filmed in this area, but I know he's from this area.
Yeah,
so it's fun. The one that I interviewed, they shot it like outside of Shenandoah and like the one scene.
Yeah,
and they were like way out in the woods, and they did like a murder scene. And they had, like, blood and all this different stuff. And someone walking their dog in the woods came across it and called the police. And they had helicopters circling over and shit.
You know what? I think I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I heard that.
I watched that movie. That was fucking crazy.
It
was a crazy movie. There's some stuff, and I was like, how did you just do that?
Yeah.
Like, it was gory.
Yeah.
It was like, what the fuck? It was awesome, though.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, I'm up for the challenge. So, I mean, that's my plan. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you're working on or anything new in your life you want to talk about?
Everything in my life is wonderful.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean,
staying out of trouble?
Yeah.
Are you working?
Yeah.
Where you at?
I'm in the same place I've been at for a couple years.
Yeah. I know you said you were last time you were here, you were working on possibly a restaurant or something like that.
Yeah, I was. I got boned out of that. Let's not get into that one.
All right, won't get into that one. All right.
I might have to mention names then. I don't want to do that.
I got boned out.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. Yeah. But yeah, I kind of got boned on that one.
Now,
but
when you said you recorded songs, like original songs, is that going to be a Radio Soup thing, or is it a band, or are they going to be solo Frank Linek tracks?
Either or.
Yeah?
Yeah, either or. I mean,
you guys do originals right now with Radio Soup?
No, but I'd love to.
Yeah.
I'd love to, but I mean, I have quite a catalog, you know, and what I'm more proud of about the songs that I have are the ones that don't have words.
Yeah.
You know, because
like instrumentals.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just, you know, I love the way they sound. Mm-hmm. I love the way I can play them over and over and over, and I don't get sick of them.
Yeah,
you know, and it just when I do, I go somewhere else. You know what I mean? It's like,
does Terry write originals?
Yes, he has amazing originals.
I would love to hear
his songs are the best. Actually, every time he comes over, that's why I think he don't come over anymore, because every time he comes over, I'm like, Terry, play this song. And then next thing you know, he's playing seven of his originals. He's like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, they're that good.
Yeah.
They are that good.
Every time I go to a bar and he's playing, or we're out somewhere, and he's like, anyone want to hear a song? And I'm like, You See Me Crying. And he's like, I hate you. I'm like, but you're really good at it.
He's really good at it.
He's so talented.
I'm telling you what. If you heard this one song, dude, and if you don't fucking cry, then you're not a human being. He's that beautiful.
I don't want to, like, not talk about him, but I don't want to say, like, some of his struggles because he's not here. You know what I mean? It's his story to tell, but, like, he's a genius stuck in his own prison. Like, his prison is his mind. You know what I mean? Like, he's so talented, and he
I don't know if he sees it.
Yeah.
I don't know if he gets it.
I tell him every time I see him. And then he gets emotional and we hug. And
I love him. Yeah. He's one of my best friends, man. He's a great guy.
I think the two strongest male voices in our area is him and Brandon from Crowbot.
Hands down.
No, like, Brandon from Crowbot is easily in a category of like a Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
And Terry's right there with him.
Right there with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
The only thing that kills me with him is like, he has this beautiful voice, but once again, his own gears start going, and he starts singing. He's like, I'm not getting a response, so I'm going to now switch halfway through the song and sing it like Gilbert Godfrey.
Then people are like,
what the fuck? And then like, and then once he starts it, he can't stop.
Yeah.
And then it just voices the whole time. And then it's like, he's like, if I'm being funny, I'm at least entertaining myself, because they're not liking the show. Yeah. But meanwhile, everyone in the show is like, we're not giving you a response because we're literally, our fucking jaws are dropped and we're enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's.
Listen, when he's on.
He's on.
Dude, when he's on, there's, man, like, so for us, when we play, when Terry's on everybody's on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy.
He just sucks everybody right in.
It's easy. It's that easy. It doesn't matter if I had 12 beers, 18 beers, and 5 shots. It doesn't matter. If when he's on, everybody's on.
Yeah.
It's
perfect. He's very talented. It's perfect. He's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
How did the name Radio Soup come about?
We couldn't come up with a name. So we had a gig. We didn't have a name yet. I think the gig was like 3 weeks, and you know, we practiced a couple of times, and we went to Tim's house, and it was me, Tim, because at first it was only me, Tim, and Terry.
Yeah.
And couldn't come up with a name, and I was thinking about that name for a while. And I was like, it was getting towards the end of the night, and we couldn't find one. And I was like, I like Radio Soup. And I was like,
sounds good.
Yeah, I like that too. It makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? So I was like, all right, Radio Soup it is.
Yeah.
And it was that quick.
Do you think there's going to be a point in the future of Radio Soup where maybe you guys start adding your originals to the set list?
I hope so.
I do too.
I hope so. I mean, you know, when me and Russ jam on the guitar, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not just talking about playing Radio Soup. I'm like, when we're back at his house or at my house or whatever, and we're just jamming, and I'm like, hey, Russ,
there's nothing better. For me anyway, and I'm not even a musician, I just love sitting in a room where someone just grabs a guitar and everyone's singing along.
Yeah.
It's the
best.
Dude, I remember, I don't know if you were, I think you were there. I don't know if it was one of the nights where you cut out early, because a lot of times after shows.
I cut out early.
You cut out early. Yeah. But we went back to Steve's apartment and Randy was home. And I just remember that shitty guitar that Steve had, and it was like broken and it had like colorful strings.
Yes.
And it didn't hold tune at all. But everyone's hammered and that guitar comes out and it was just there to make the somewhat of a noise.
Yeah.
But to us it all sounded great because we were smoked, and we were just literally like, oh, you know what would go with this song? And like we were making the melodies with fucking around. And we did that for like 4 hours. Like we were singing like Don't Stop Me Now by Queen and stuff. Like it was just people sitting in a room drinking and just singing along to songs.
That's the best thing in the world.
I love it.
I love it too.
If you're ever at Rusty's again and you guys are jamming, I'm like 2 blocks down.
I'll call, I'll bring it.
Beers.
I will.
Oh my God, it's so much fun.
Actually, I was going to bring Russ with me.
That'd be great. Let's do Radio Soup. Let's do a Radio Soup episode.
Yeah, let's do Radio Soup.
I have enough chairs for everybody.
That'd be perfect.
I've come close to 100 episode, man. I need to find the next 4 Wednesdays are booked. I am still looking for people who are listening. I'm looking for a Halloween, like the last Wednesday before Halloween. So if somebody wants to come on and get spooky, and we could do that as well. But
we should do a little live acoustic. Not, it doesn't have to be anything huge. A couple songs.
Yeah, we could do that.
That'd be awesome.
Well, here's how we could even do it too, because Russ has like a little bit bigger space than I do. I can bring my equipment up. We can film it sitting at the bar and talking, and then like turn away from the bar, and then kind of you guys have your stuff set up and do like a live stream concert for people to watch on Facebook.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, that'd be killer.
That'd be fun.
That'd be a lot of fun.
You set it up.
I'll set it up.
You talk to the boys.
You know, yeah, because you know what's awesome? We've gained a lot of fans from down Harrisburg area.
Yeah.
That ain't gonna be able to see us for a couple months, and I think you know they'll.
I could help facilitate live shows.
Yeah.
So here's the way I did it with. I mean, I don't care. I want other people in the area, if they do live shows, to do it this way too, if it helps them with their quality. But when I helped Keith Collins, and he did live shows, and when I helped facilitate live shows, is what I did is I would he would have his board, and everybody went in his board, and he had like 1 or 2 speakers just so people can hear the sound in the basement. And then what I did is I just took the speaker from like a line out from his board and just put his line into here, and then I just put that channel right out. Use my camera as the video, and then all his audio came through his board already mixed into my mixer, and that sent it to the computer, and it sounded amazing.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
And we'll do like a Radio Soup collaboration with like interviews with everyday people.
Yeah.
And we could do a live show for you guys on your Facebook and my Facebook.
That'd be perfect.
That'd be dope.
That'd be perfect.
All right, we'll do that.
We'll do that.
Right. Anything here in closing you want to say before we get out of here?
Eddie Van Halen. Damn. And Ginger Baker died today.
Ginger Baker.
Cream.
Really?
Yeah, the drummer.
Fuck. How old is he?
He was 80.
Yeah, he was up there.
Yeah,
Eddie was what, 60?
65. Yeah.
Throat cancer. Talk about burning the candle at both ends, though.
I know. Well, I told a story. So I remember, I think I read it in a magazine, and Eddie's buddies, I think it was his manager and a couple of his buddies, came up, and he already had throat cancer, whatever, and he comes up to him and he goes, Ed, you got to stop smoking and boozing, man. And Eddie looks at him, he goes, I didn't fucking stop for my fucking wife and kids. What makes you think I'd fucking stop for you?
Yeah, that's Jesus Christ. When we talked about it yesterday on our show, Not Cool in High School, I said, listen, full disclosure, you know, because we live in a society now where, like, cancel culture kicks in, right? Yeah. Like, if you say the wrong thing and it's, you say something people don't agree with, or you're maybe a brash person, people are just like, fuck you. Yeah. We don't want anything to do with you. Your whole life should be over. If Eddie Van Halen would not have lived in cancel culture, because he was a genuine scumbag to a lot of people.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, to bandmates, family members, wife and kids. Like, yeah. He was very set in his ways.
That's it.
God damn, he could play a guitar.
He's one of the best ever.
Where would you rank him? Like, all time?
Well, okay, listen. So, it's got to be...
Top five.
Top two or three.
Yeah.
It's him, Hendrix, and Clapton. I mean, there's no...
No Stevie Ray Vaughan?
Listen, I love Stevie Ray Vaughan, but he didn't change shit like Jimi Hendrix, Clapton, or Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
Like, they started... Hendrix... Okay, so Clapton started a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Then it was Hendrix.
Hendrix changed the way people play.
And so did Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah. And Eddie Van Halen invented shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. No one would ever play with a power drill before.
Or the fucking... The way he tapped, the taps. Crazy.
Yeah. Well, so, this is more of a Van Halen question. Who's your favorite? Are you... What's your favorite genre? Are you a David Lee Roth or a Sammy Hagar guy?
David Lee Roth, but I mean... Listen,
I like them both.
I like them both, too.
Yeah.
I like them both, too.
But if you were selling me tickets, I want to go see David Lee Roth.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. But I think, you know, they both have their
their place.
Yeah, and they're different. They're not the same band. Yep. You know what I mean? And they don't sound like the same band, which is...
Well, there was a third singer in there, too, but he only lasted like...
Gary Cherone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was very quick.
Yeah, he didn't do much.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck him.
Fuck him. I don't know, man. Like, I dig... I mean, as we both know, I love Steel Panther. And Steel Panther, all they do is just... They're mimicking Van Halen, yeah. Motley Crue, all those bands.
Yeah.
I love that genre.
Yeah, and I mean... Man, Van Halen, if it wasn't for Eddie, who knows, you know, if, you know, Motley Crue or, you know, all these other bands, like these crazy, I mean, it just blows your mind if you keep thinking about it, you know, because he was the first one. And, you know, when they first started playing in clubs, you know, the band used to tell Eddie not to face the crowd so they wouldn't see what he was doing. You know what I mean? They didn't want nobody knocking him off.
Yeah.
And they ended up anyway, but I mean, it's crazy.
What was the first time you heard him play guitar? First time I ever heard him play guitar was not a Van Halen song.
Well, it was Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was probably mine too, but I didn't know it was that time. I didn't know it was Eddie Van Halen.
I just remember, like, being a kid, obviously, like, I was into Michael Jackson, the pop music, right? And I just remember hearing that guitar solo. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And then my dad's like, oh, he's part of a rock band, and here is now rock music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it kind of opened the door for me to, like, another genre of music. And then I was like, oh, shit, like, Running with the Devil and Panama and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, see, when I was younger, I mean, I was pretty set in my ways. I liked AC/DC and Kiss, pretty much, when I was 10 years old. You know, but I never really liked Panama. I never really liked them songs until I start getting like 15, until I start playing guitar, really.
Really?
You know, and then I was like, oh, shit. You know?
My first band ever was Aerosmith and AC/DC.
AC/DC is mine.
Yeah.
You know, I have this deep love for them.
Yeah. Mine was Aerosmith first.
Yeah.
And then AC/DC was very short after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Back in Black album.
Back in Black.
Back, front to back, played it front to back. And then Aerosmith, the first one I ever got was Big Ones.
Big Ones.
Yep. Played that front to back.
Yeah, well, you can. And the one before that was, I don't know if it was Permanent Vacation.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the Big Ones is a good one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking, and then I think the next one after that was like Nine Lives.
Nine Lives, yeah. Yeah. Nine Lives.
That was a great album, too.
Yeah. Wait, how old are you?
I'm 33.
Okay.
Fulton's age. Yeah. That's how we bonded, was Aerosmith. Like, we start talking about Aerosmith, and he's like, well... All right. Well, Aerosmith was we both agreed that Aerosmith were the bands that our dads got us into.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, what's the first band that you got into that your dad didn't push you to? And I was like, for me, it's Blink-182. And he goes, and then we had our stepbrothers moment. Did we just become best friends? Do you want to go karate on the balcony? Yeah. Yeah. So that was it for me. But yeah, Eddie, I think what I want to do, I probably won't be able to do it tonight now because I have to now go and sit here for 3 hours and do edits. But I want to. I have the Van Halen video game.
Oh, do you?
I want to stream it, like because I do live streams on our one show, our one channel on here. Yeah. So I want to like live stream the rock band just to kind of play it. But all right, man. Make sure you guys check the links below. And if you are watching this on right now as we're speaking, God love you because it probably sounds terrible. But I will update the audio. I will delete this stream and then put it back up here and also on YouTube. We are trying to grow on YouTube, so please head over to our YouTube channel, IWEP Network, and subscribe. We're trying to get to that 1,000 subscribers. And yeah, man, if you're out there, grab a t-shirt. Show support. Like, let people know that I'm a thing out here in School County area. I'm trying to get that exposure, you know? So we'll see you guys next time. Frankie, thank you again, man.
Yes, sir.
I love you, brother.
Yeah, you're the man.
And pretty soon, man, you heard it here first. Radio Soup collaboration with the podcast. We'll do another live stream.
Soon.
Soon.
End of October.
End of October?
End of October.
All right. Just, like I said, give me some dates because we're doing a lot of crazy shit on the next couple weekends. So we'll work it out. All right.
All right, buddy.
That'll do it. Interviews with Every People. We're out of here.